Hello, I'm Barry, and I'm with Realms of Anacolia.
Hello, I'm Teresa with Realms of Anacolia.
Hello, I'm Raven from Realms of Anacolia.
Hello, I'm Feather, a DM on Realms of Anacolia, and you're listening to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Someone give me a tankard! This is going to get good!
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hey everybody, this is Jay, a.k.a. Navink Naroda.
Hi, this is Michelle, a.k.a. Liso.
And welcome to episode 52 of the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Yay!
Well, it's been a couple of weeks since I've been on the show. Michelle, what's been going on?
Yeah, actually, a whole lot has been going on. You get to finally come back to the weekly episodes. We haven't seen you in a while, Jay.
Well, I've been busy, and I'm still staying busy. Actually, I've got several projects going on at work and on the side, one of them of which I am kind of playing around with the Visual Studio X&A Game Studio. I'm not sure if anybody's heard about that, but it's a Microsoft development platform for creating games. So I've been kind of checking that out a little bit.
Oh, nifty. You're going to buy Atari, right?
Buy an Atari.
You're going to buy Atari someday.
Well, yeah. As cheap as it's getting, we'll all be able to buy Atari.
Well, I haven't been up with a whole lot this week. I haven't got to play any modules. Can you believe it?
Yeah, I can believe it. That's my world.
Yeah, but that's usually not mine.
I live in the world of a modder, but I don't get to mod. I'm doing all the development, but no games.
I've just had a sick child.
Oh, that's not funny there.
No. So, what do we have going on this week?
Well, I had a little trouble finding news this week, but we did have a few things of interest. Funny thing, one thing I thought was kind of interesting, it's kind of an aside here for a moment, I did a Google search for the news for anything with Neverwinter in it, and we were in both episode 50 and 51, we're in the top 10.
Oh, cool.
We were dominating the news. But we did find out some information, and I'm not sure if Trey found out this or who brought this information to us, but it came from Ben Whitehousey of the – oh, my gosh. We have to edit this. It came from Ben Whitehousey of the Academy of Modding Excellence that their nominations will be announced next week. So you guys want to watch out for that and see who's going to be nominated. I'm sure this is the 2007 round. I'm not sure. It doesn't say. Be interesting to see who gets that.
I was reading their website the other day, and they stated that they were announcing them soon. So that's cool.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see who gets on that list.
So we have a Neverwinter Night Vault announcement, new community project. And we'll have a link to that. The true Neverwinter Knights have stepped up and taken it upon themselves to bring Neverwinter Nights 1 back into the limelight. And I did read that on the front page of the Vault. It sounds pretty interesting. It's all the people who are still playing Neverwinter Nights 1 strong, and they really want to get the news out there and say, hey, you know, stuff's still being made, stuff's still being played.
For some reason, I keep thinking of the Knights Templar here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Knights Templar was the keeper of where the... You know, if you watch the National Treasure movies, the Knights Templar was the secret organization that kept alive all the traditions. And this has made me think of that when I read this, is that their whole goal is to make sure that I don't think Neverwinter Nights 1 is going away anytime soon by any means. I think we may not see any updates from BioWare come out, but as far as development and community content, nah, it's still most of the events we've been involved with have been Neverwinter Nights 1 events. So.
Well, I know the persistent worlds are still very busy.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking hopefully we can add Flamecrow and the true Neverwinter Nights to our interview list and get those guys on here to talk about what they're going to do.
That's an awesome idea. Some other exciting things are happening. Neverwinter Night 2 and Warcry episode 51 is on the front page of Warcry. And thank you very much, Kayla, for that. That is really awesome. It was really cool to click on that link and see us right on the front page.
Yep. So when are we going to get that interview, sweetie? Kayla.
You going to try to wear her down like Rob?
Yes, we're going to have to.
Those dumb hicks just aren't going away.
Nope. That's one thing about dumb hicks. We're pretty stubborn and too dumb to know when we should pack it away. So we're going to keep going.
We have a pretty exciting interview coming up for this episode. Anacola? Or is it Anacolia?
Don't know, but I'm sure they'll correct us.
And I believe Trey and Dave did that one.
Hello, I'm Trey Dash Zelo, and tonight we have joining us several DMs from the Realm of Anacolia. They were so gracious to host an event for us on March 22nd called Miss Between the Spears. Some players joined us. We had Halloween Foxy, who played Roxana, join us. We had Kayla from Warcry, who played Kel. FFBJ played Dan the Scout. Sol Abriel, another player on Nicolia, he played himself. And I played a monk named Noble Star. And then Dave also joined us as a gnome named Pablo. So welcome everybody to the show. And if each one of you will just kind of take a few seconds and introduce yourselves, we'll jump right into the questions.
Well, I'm Barry. I'm known as Barry 1066. And we've been playing Dungeons & Dragons pen and pencil since the 70s, essentially before there was any materials out there to build worlds, so we had to build our own. There was no Faerun, or the Greyhawk hadn't been published, just the D&D rulebooks, and so with graph paper in hand and some colored pencils, we sketched out a world that has been played and enjoyed ever since.
Excellent.
And eventually we came along to do it on Neverwinter Nights.
Cool. You're also a team member of the Community Expansion Pack, aren't you?
Yes.
Okay, and also we have with us Barry's other half, Charissa. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I work with Barry on maintaining the forum. We have a fairly active forum, and we design plots and stories and keep things going on the Anacolia. We played D&D long ago, probably before some of you were born. And our daughter went to her first D&D game, pencil and paper, when she was 2 weeks old, so that's a long time ago. And we played RuneQuest and other things. We did a couple of events in San Diego, and we had some DMs working with us. Some of you might know him as an author, was Raymond Feist, who wrote Magician. So we played D&D with him, and one time at Comic-Con, our daughter and Barry played D&D with Larry Niven.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So we've been playing D&D for a while, and we enjoy the medium of playing role play with many people. I never finished the original content for Neverwinter Nights. I'm just too much into playing with other people the game. So that's where we're at.
Cool. Excellent. Thank you for coming and being with us on the show. We also have with us one of the DMs from Anacola, DM Feather. Welcome to the show, Feather.
Thank you.
I don't know your real name, though.
Oh, my name's Valerie, and I've been playing Neverwinter Nights since it came out. I was a fan of the Baldur's Gate games from BioWare, and when they came out with Neverwinter Nights, I thought, wow, and started to play the single game, and finally got brave and applied to play a game through Neverwinter Connections, and that's where I met Barry and Teresa, because we started to play a game that Rome was running called Tales of Celts, which was great fun. And when we stopped playing that, I really started to kind of look for somewhere to play interactively, because I enjoyed it so much and became involved with Realms of Anacolia. And pretty well spend my time there now.
Excellent. Welcome to the show. We also have with us another one of the DMs that helped with the event, DM Raven. Is that how that's what you go by, correct? Also known as Bruno, I believe. Why don't you introduce yourself to the listeners?
First, I'm not a DM, I am an apprentice DM.
Sorry, apprentice DM, yes.
I can't really remember when I bought Neverwinter Nights. But I came very late to experience permanent worlds, as in to experience role playing at Neverwinter Nights. Realms of Anacolia was my very first server, and it was fun. People welcomed me, people gave me a tour around the server, etc.
All right, welcome to the show, everyone. Okay, so that was an awesome event that we had on last Saturday. Why don't one of you just jump in and explain the event for everyone, a little bit about its background, and maybe a little bit about what you planned. I'll let you decide on how much you want to give away, because I'm sure we're going to want to try maybe. I know we didn't finish the event exactly the way I think y'all had it planned, so hopefully we can maybe continue it another day. So just, I guess, decide on how much you want to explain about it. But
actually, we've talked about turning it into a campaign.
Oh, excellent. That's right.
There's a lot of material there. But I think the background of that should be Spelljammer, which came out sometime in the early 80s. I don't remember the exact date. And it was Dungeons & Dragons in space. But it's not space like you would think of it in modern space travel terms, because space is entirely different in Dungeons & Dragons, dealing with spheres and ether and gravity works different. Wooden ships, yes, and magic that makes things move, and it's very different. It all fits into Dungeons & Dragons, and since we have areas built to handle that, and Skunk Keen was quite impressed with how it looked, he wanted to do something with it, and we talked about it.
Well, Skunk Keen approached Barry about it after he had played on our server some. Barry had shown him around, like Barry said, and he enjoyed it so much and was enamored with it so much that he joined a campaign that we run regularly on Thursday afternoons. And then he was talking to Barry often and suggested that he could organize this game. And then we got together several times and discussed our plot lines. And one of the things that Skunking came up with was this idea of these gaseous entities. And Barry has designed this creature that's unique to Anacolia, and it just worked perfectly. So on our server, we have a tool for DMs called a naming feather, so we can rename things and items and creatures on the fly. So we just took this creature and renamed it and used it in his plot. And like you said, Raven had the plot very firmly planned out, what he wanted to happen where, and I kept telling him, you need to be a little more, you know, loose about it and understand that the players may take off and go a totally different direction, and you did.
Which is normal and accepted.
when I'm
in a little bit, we'll talk a little bit more about that, and I'll give you some insight on one of the reasons I did what I did.
When I plan a story,
I assume that's what you're talking about.
Yes, when I plan a story out, I try to look at all the. I used to write things out and would plan like a flow sheet, a flow graph chart of all the different options I thought the players might come up with. And I got to the point where I don't need that in some way.
Wow, you were serious about it. Flow chart. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, sort of, you know how cards they do in storyboards? And,
yes. Uh-huh.
But, I mean, I didn't draw it out. I just like to have an idea of what kind of options the players might come up with. And
that's excellent.
They've surprised me so many times, but I think we're really flexible with our players. And we like to – I look at this game as interactive, and it's, you know – I find it really exciting when the players come up with new ideas that I hadn't thought of. And it's a synergy that happens. That's what I like about the game.
Cool. Excellent. No wing in it, but a seat of the pants, right?
Oh, yeah, we do now.
Okay, so I had a question, one of my first questions. And most of these questions that I'm going to go through now came out of the log that we had, I guess after the event, we all got together back on the server, and we all got gathered in a room and just kind of had a nice chat about the event. So my first question was, I noticed when some of the screens were transitioning, there was a signature down on the bottom, Kurt Weddington, I think it was.
Kurt Weddington is the name of the person who produced the Full Forest Rural tile set that I'm using in certain places in the world. You did not see that particular tile set, but that particular load screen was nicer than some others for a forest. And I stuck with using what I had at hand because I couldn't expand with my own until 1.69. With 1.69, I've already added 33 custom-made load screens of my own and have plans for about at least that many more. So, but that's his name is on there because he made one of the tile sets and made that load screen.
Okay, cool. I just noticed that and was wondering that. Kayla from Warcry also asked, did you compose all the music for the Realms of Anacolia?
Charissa?
Not all of the music. Some of it's from the original game and the updates. There's a number of tracks that we played as, we're in a musical ensemble, medieval music. And we've been playing since 4 years. First in Southern California, we did Renaissance fairs, and we're in medieval reenactments with the SCA, Society for Creative Anachronism, and did concerts. And when we moved here, we continued that, and some of the songs that you hear on Anacolia are recordings of our group playing.
And some of the custom music is off of the is on the vault for people to download.
Oh, cool. Well, I know when we first jumped into the post conversation or chat session, I guess y'all were playing some music. I actually couldn't hear it on my machine, but I thought I had loaded all of the music packs. There was like four or five of them.
There's five.
Five, yeah. I thought I loaded all of them, but I couldn't hear the music that y'all were talking about. So I think that's where that question came from.
You have to put them in the particular folder that they go in.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Which, I thought I put them in the right one.
Yeah, actually, I had a sound glitch during the post chat too, where it kind of cut out all of a sudden. It might have been.
Oh, really?
Something happening somewhere else. But that's so you used to play with the SCA. Actually, I give a demo tomorrow in the SCA. For a high school.
I think Feather plays with the SCA too.
Mm-hmm. I have a PhD in medieval music.
Awesome. Yeah, I want to play the lute someday, but of course, finding one's a little bit tricky.
It's my main.
That you can afford. Wow.
I found one in Neverwinter Nights the other night.
That's the way I should play it. Just toss a couple of skill points, that'll do it.
I'm playing Mask of the Betrayer, and I found a couple of instruments somewhere.
Actually, I found...
Sorry, when I digress.
Anacolia, the first time I went around by myself, and you know, the first thing I did was, I think I found some pipes, and I was like, I haven't bothered trying to play them yet, but it looks like you have a whole bunch of instruments in there, and it's just amazing how full that world is. What do we have here? Sol Abriel said the Winter Witch class only exists here. Is that true?
That's correct.
Flame Crow was the one that designed the Winter Witch because of the classes he was making. I complained that there was nothing for water, so he designed the Winter Witch for me.
He's the one that scripted all of our custom classes. Flame Crow did.
It's 23 custom classes that we have that are exclusive to Anacolia.
I remember you saying that we're off track with Gygax, and you'd mentioned his source books. How heavy is that still in your thought process? You know, maybe the all that first edition stuff. Because I got a first edition feel in the world.
Well. First edition is all we've ever played until we got Neverwinter Nights, and we had to make some adjustments because Neverwinter Nights went all 3.0. I don't like a lot of what has been done to it since 1.0. So as far as I'm concerned, there is no other way of looking at alignments but 1.0. And I don't accept any other source but straight out of the player's handbook and the DM guide.
I hear you. No. That's what you can. And anybody wanting to get into, a lot of people don't know about first edition. There's go on eBay and get it cheap. Long
we
live
did.
First edition.
So another question that was asked by Pwab.
Pablo, that's me.
Dave, I guess you asked that.
Yeah, I was wondering how you keep four DMs on the same page.
How do you keep four DMs on the same page? Is that what you said?
Yeah, how do you keep them all going in the same direction and common goal once it hits the fan?
We talk about it on the DM channel. Early on, we started using TeamSpeak for the DMs, but not all our DMs use TeamSpeak, so we try to communicate on the DM channel, type what we're going to do.
But TeamSpeak really makes a big difference.
But were y'all all four on TeamSpeak that day? Feather, were you on there?
I think we were all on Skype.
Yeah, that was the first time we tried Skype
for
a game.
How did it work?
Actually, it worked out fine. I didn't notice any problems with bandwidth.
Cool.
That's better than our problems we've had recently, but we're working out those.
Well, with Charissa sitting back to back to me here in the room, 5 feet away, we have problems with mics blessing each other, and sometimes the echo on TeamSpeak can get so bad that I stutter horribly just because I'm hearing myself five and six times.
That's funny.
Like singing the anthem in a huge stadium.
Right. And
so I was actually...
With Skype, I'm just not getting that feedback, so...
Before we used TeamSpeak, though, we did do a lot of typing, and like I said, I would outline some... You know, I'd send like a basic outline to the other DMs, but even after I stopped making written outlines, we would try to get together and talk instant message, and then when we're on the server, we would use the DM channel. That did make for some fun mistakes, like if you were possessing a character and then you got out and forgot to switch to the DM channel and you said gave away some major secret that was coming up.
And you didn't realize we were typing in it.
Yeah, if you typed in talk and all the players saw it.
Well, I did that in this game. I was standing over the dead monk that Trey's playing, and I said something about, is anybody in character coming over here to raise
this?
I
don't think they could see me, because I couldn't see myself. I think I'd fell down into the water.
You were.
I got squished by a big old brontosaurus.
I got stepped on by one of those.
Actually, I was trying to get away from him, and he was so big and he took up my whole screen. And I guess when I clicked on him, I started attacking him.
So you're why we started attacking those things.
I guess. I don't know. But he wasn't red at first. He wasn't.
Yeah, till you
he wasn't hostile at first.
No, he only becomes hostile to those who attack him.
Yeah, thanks.
I attacked those little raptors first.
Well, those were hostile.
Those are hostile.
Yeah, yeah. We were getting, if I understand it, and of course it's Pablo's eyes, the plant eaters seem to be protecting us, well, or at least
I know
not
what it was.
Bothering us.
Uh-huh. I know what it was. Something started attacking. No, the brontosaurus started attacking.
The raptor?
No. Didn't a triceratops come in and was helping us fight the raptors at one point? Yes. And then the brontosaurus started attacking the triceratops. So I said, hey, he's helping us. And so that's when I attacked the brontosaurus. Now I remember.
Thanks. How tall are you?
I'm the only one who died, so what the big deal about it? I got stepped on.
But see, they have friends.
Yeah, I know, because then there was that second one near on the other side.
As you can tell, guys, it was a really good game.
Faction.
Whether it went anywhere where you planned it, it was a lot of fun.
Okay, I have a, that made me think of another question that's not on our list. I know y'all, after a little bit I figured out, okay, y'all wanted us to get back up into the ship. And we were supposed to gather. Gather pieces of the ship and get, and someone kept, I can't remember who it was, I think it was Halloween Foxy, kept saying, go back up the ladder. And I never did see a ladder anywhere.
Well, let me step in
did
there.
Did you, Dave?
But as a longer, as since you don't have much pen and paper experience, I didn't say, I said not much. And you're editing anyway.
Actually, there's any.
Well, just say not much,
sorry,
dude. So, I try not to figure out what the DM's planning because, of course, it's not a plan. I'm a halfling monk. I don't know that there is such a thing as a DM. I'm in this world, so that's. I guess there's different kinds of players, and some people try to figure out the path. I didn't think there was a path there.
Yeah,
that's the kind of player I like. Yeah, that's fine.
Well, the only reason I was trying to figure out where the ladder was is because somebody mentioned it.
I was trying to get everybody to stay in one place because we had to figure out what to do until we were, but we never got into one place.
Some of the best games have been where the players have created something that's totally off of our thinking and plan. And we just go with it, and it have been some of the very best stellar games.
Okay, who is this? What gets your adrenaline flowing? Probably is it?
Oh yeah,
too.
It's an impromptu theater.
It's amazing to me the two different experiences. I've DM'd just a couple times with a DM client, and you picture a totally different game as having until you talk to the players at how they experienced it. It's two completely different things happening at the same time. It's wild.
Okay, so who was playing Perky? Who was playing Perky? The little...
Oh, the gnome?
It was
Raven.
Raven was?
Most of the time.
Okay, so we're standing there we're standing there and somebody says something about a demon wolf going by or something and some wolves run by. And so we're standing there, and everybody's trying to figure out where to go. And my character got bored.
Got what?
He got tired. He got tired of standing around trying to figure out where to go.
Is that why he took off and killed the gnome?
And so and so his puppet master gets on the DM channel and says, "Give me something to do." Which I don't know if that's taboo or not. I'm kind of new at all this role playing anyway, so I hope I didn't offend anybody. But so then someone replied, I don't know who replied, one of the DMs did, replied back and said, "Kill Pete." I hope y'all thought that was amusing. And then as I was attacking her, you know, I know I'm a monk, so I got to thinking, you know, and since they were talking about demon rabbits and demon wolves and stuff, I started role playing that because I had a faith in that I could detect these kind of things, that I thought there was a demon inside her, and that's why I was attacking her.
Well, here's a hint just for
and so I probably messed up the whole quest, the whole event.
No, let me tell you something. Since there are DMs, and if there's something you want to do like that, they gave us the dice bag and such, and what you can do is type in your role-playing in your chat that says something like, tries to detect evil or whatever on that.
I should have done that type of thing.
And they may or may not see it, and you just do it a couple times, and they might go, okay, and they'll write it right into the... You'll be amazed where they take you at that point.
Yep.
Excellent.
So they love the role playing. I don't know how you guys felt about him on the DM channel. What was that about?
Y'all were probably kidding me.
No,
somebody goes, "You don't want to be doing that," or something.
He's killing Perky. Yeah,
that was my tell to you, Trey, going, "What are you doing?"
Yeah, that's right. That was you.
I don't remember who it was, but they said, "I know what we'll do." And I said, "I'm glad somebody does."
I think it was Kayla. I was ready to kill
the monk, so.
Oh, were you? I think Kayla, who was playing Kel... I think she was going to kill me too. By the way, Kayla from Warcry, I thought she did an excellent job of role playing. She was good.
Yep. So was Pablo.
Yep. Thank you.
Halloween Foxy did good too.
Oh, I played with Halloween Foxy is actually an excellent role player. I think she actually got a little, what's the word I want to use? She got a little, anxious, I guess, because we weren't role playing enough.
When the game switched to a faster pace, so it's harder to do that. I mean, you're not going to get that in-depth of stuff if here you are trying to survive and run away. And you know, so I don't know about you, but if I'm running away from a big brontosaurus, I'm not going to tell you about my parents. I'm just going to run.
That was cool with those dinosaurs. My daughter, actually, my 8-year-old, walked in just as we arrived, fell out of the ship, or the ship had crashed. And she saw all the dinosaurs on my screen and goes, "Oh, cool, dinosaurs. I want to watch Daddy."
That was fun. The crash was a lot of fun.
By that time, I got stepped on.
was the crash partly waiting for Skunk to get online, or was that...
No, that was planned. Of course, but, we did some extra stuff since he was a little late. Barry had the inspiration of having... one of the crew members be on the ship as you woke up and you witnessed the entities taking him over or her over. Right. That hadn't been planned. So we get some on-the-spot inspirations.
That's cool.
And
we was also trying to explain what's happening on board the ship and what kind of peril you're all in.
We rather show than tell.
Yeah, totally. I really liked that about it. It was
that was cool.
It was fun. I was drugged between trying to get off, and then everybody else having faith. When Trey was going to jump over the side, I'm like, dude, careful, okay. They'll let you.
Yeah, roll damage.
I was just trying to play.
Roll damage.
I was scared.
Yeah, that was good. So help me with the damn life raft, would you?
And then I realized when, you know, I wasn't going to jump. I started helping you with it. Okay. Okay, so we were talking about how the monk attacked Perky and all that. And then I was going to ask you, you were the little round guy that was...
You were the tour guide, is that what you're saying? Tour guide.
Yeah, the tour guide. You were playing the tour.
Edward Hilbert.
This is one of those things that the players will always take these great names that the DMs will come up with, and they'll butcher them into things like tour guide and little gnome thing.
Edver is a renowned mountaineer and explorer.
Okay.
So tour guide is a bit of an insult to him, eh?
Well, he does run tours.
Okay.
On the side.
Where was he touring us to? That was my question.
Well, the planet is called Tenora, and right. Edver has been there once before because he took a tour on an airship that had a little accident, and they ended up on Tenora. But they didn't get past the main city of
Nimra.
And had some trouble in the restaurant. Some small problem with the bill of being, I don't know, some 100,000 gold more than he actually had. So they left in a hurry.
Yes.
Edward's experience of Tenora. So, yes, you know, as you could tell, he was very knowledgeable about the planet when they turned to him for help.
I think right. If I'm going to book a tour with him again, I think he might want to get a different airship provider. Because if he's already having problems crashing before with these...
No, he leased his airship from the renowned Kylon Lionset, who has quite a tremendous reputation on Anacolia already as being a marvelous watership captain. And so he leased the airship knowing that he was getting the best. And as everybody cackles from the behind, you can kind of understand that Lionset pretty well sinks every ship that he's ever sailed.
Well, there's the adventure.
So you have to keep building them over and over and over.
He loves to do that.
He has a history of growing up in a landlocked area as a noble, wealthy person who, as a boy, dreamed of being a captain. So he can afford to buy his ships, and he's a complete idiot.
Okay.
But he probably has a very nice hat.
Yes. Yeah. Plus, he has met with he's good looking and met with charming mermaids who always see him safe.
Ooh.
They rescue him.
That's
the only explanation for how he keeps turning up.
Noble, check out the mermaids. Another question was, did assign dungeon masters to a few folks, DMs?
Oh, this was me actually asking probably after the event. I was wondering who was playing what role, because obviously we had some NPCs, and I didn't know. I was just asking who they were. I think we've established some of that just now, but
yes, we did. No, Dave, you got lots of questions in here, Dave. You also asked how big are the areas in the tiles?
How big in tiles are the areas that we're in?
The largest areas on the server are 16 by 32, or as a rectangle, or as a square, 20 by 20. Not all areas are that big.
It's just because I guess I'm used to 8 by 8 now, and it's like, wow, these are huge. It was a blast.
To explore, to really have room to explore, you need a little bit larger area. Also, with horses, 8 by 8, you hardly get on the horse and take up steps and you cross the area. You need a little bit of expanse to manage to have it room to ride.
Oh, yeah,
this has really made a difference.
I was impressed because I guess back in the day, 8x8 was what had to be not choppy, and it ran smooth, and we were big areas. And is it just because better machines nowadays is you found a bigger, you can get away with a bigger area?
Well, there's multiple reasons. One is in improvements in the Neverwinter Nights engine as they've gone along. Some of it is improvement in the tile sets, and some of it, of course, is upgrades in computer equipment.
It was great. It was really fun.
So tell us how the horse management works.
Well, actually, it's going to all change with 1.69. I've been integrating CEP horses with the 1.69 horses so that they're all working on the same way, under using the same scripts, etc. And so with CEP, they'll have a widget to spawn your horse. You'll be able to ride your horse.
You'll be able to feed him and brush him?
Oh, there's probably some of that in there.
Are you going to have to go through all the old areas and make him so that the horses can't come into the taverns and things like that? Or is there a lot of back work to do?
Well, I've never put in scripting to stop that because there are times when... somebody might burst into a tavern riding a horse.
Yeah.
I mean, there are role play reasons to do so. So why put in something to stop it? What should stop it is common sense.
Right, like the bill for ruining the guy's floor.
Right. we once held a trial for a half-orc that went around and busted every single door in the city. He got sent to prison because he couldn't pay the bill.
Was the guy not knowing it was a role play server?
Oh, he knew what he was doing. Then we allowed him to escape. He dressed as a halfling female. This is a male half-orc. He dressed as a halfling. and he hid in the Shire. And then he was talking in a high voice and trying to convince the people that were tracking him down that he was a halfling female. And then later he got a mask and he was calling himself Mr. Man.
Alrighty then.
So it was a very, very creative situation.
See why you don't try to figure out what the DMs are trying to do, Trey?
Yeah. Understood. Actually, I had another question about horses because I like horses. When I played on the Galesburg worlds for a while, I created a character who, the way I played him, he had a black horse, a black stallion that he rode. Mm-hmm. And so I had the idea, hey, I know there's horses, because I know they were using the CEP. So I asked Kaveen, the Grand Master DM, I asked him, hey, can you make me a black horse that this character can ride? And they couldn't for some reason. But anyway, so my question is, just if I play on here for a while and I create, his name was St. John Black, and he rode a black stallion, can you all make me a black horse, or can I, is there a black horse somewhere that I can buy?
Yep, you can have a black horse.
Oh, yeah.
Might work. If they didn't have it on the stallion or on the server, they'd probably have to update it so you could have a
horse. There are three possible colors of horse, if I'm not wrong.
Cool.
You might want to consider the Horse Lords campaign and the there's a custom or the prestige class.
My Horse Lord character have a rose, a black horse, call it black.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, the custom class on Anacolia is the horses. The riders get some special skills with their horse. And there's a campaign that Mikhail ran that's running, ongoing.
Is this going? Actually, I was on the forums. Actually, I was on the forums today, and I actually saw that that one was still running.
Actually, there was a first installment, and that came to an end, and now we're starting Horse Lords 2.
Ooh, I might join that. When are you going to start?
Well, he's right now in an interim period. We're having, like, he's trying to have at least one session a month. And right now this is busy time because Mikhail is a horticulturalist, and he has to deal with, yes.
Orchids are in season. Had a roommate in college who was a horticulturist.
Yeah, well, that's what he makes his living at, and I guess so this is his busy time. So after that's over, he's going to start. Actually, there's people who have already got their characters started, so you might want to send him a message on the forum.
Okay.
That you're interested. I think you'd like the games.
Okay, cool.
So that's a lot more horses coming up with 1.69 because of there's just an incredible selection of new horse types. Some of them wearing jousting robes, and there's barding, and chain and plate mail, and plus in CEP I've also added unicorns, white and black unicorns that you can ride.
If you're battling with your horse, can your horse die?
Can, yes.
Yeah.
If you're off your horse and a fight starts, next thing you know, your horse is galloped into the fray, and you're shouting after it, saying, come back, you stupid animal, and he really dies.
Can the horses be really smart so that if I whistle, he'll come to me?
You can, if you can click on it quickly enough, and use radio menu to tell it to follow you instead of charging off the battle.
Okay.
Of course.
So it's just like a companion then. Okay.
Yes. Right. And also, under 1.69, the horses will spawn at your level.
So, cool.
Let's say if you're level 30, your DLA BioWare horse will be level 30.
Cool. Okay, sorry, I got us off on horses.
Plus a GM can save, make, or break your horse, do whatever it wants to do, so...
I'll probably include this in another section, another episode called Horses.
We can call it Trey Likes Horses.
Okay. I'm never going to hear the end of this if I don't cut it out. In the chat logs, Carissa, I think you made a statement that your characters, meaning everyone that was playing in the event, that we had been where most Anatolians had never been before. So tell us what that means.
The world, Galandar, is the world where Anacolia is, and most of the people, the vast majority of people, are not aware that there's other worlds outside that they can travel to. They aren't aware of the spell jamming, and there's only a few characters, and some of the NPCs are main characters that were aware of the possibility of spell jamming. So, there's been like a couple of sessions we did where there was a crashed spell jammer ship, and we've had some rumors of abductions, it's not that well known, and most of the people, the characters have not been there.
Go
ahead.
I was just saying, Pablo was walking around, whatever the town is that has the feisty chicken, and stumbled through a door looking for, I think I was looking for somewhere to sell the ruby I had just found, and stumbled into one of these ships, climbed the ladder, and was like, I'm probably not supposed to be here.
Well, but there is the airship.
It didn't go anywhere.
Right. Yeah, that's the airship port, but that's just terrestrial.
No one was there to sell me a ticket, so.
No, you can go there, but getting to the ship. Actually, you all were on the ship that its interior has the capability of getting to the large spelljammer ship. However, when you ended the game and were looking at the sunset and there was the dragon flying around, you were on the airship. If you had gone downstairs, and if you know the two secret words that activate the engine, you would be able to type it in and have gotten to the spelljammer.
Okay. So where we were, it was a different world.
Yes.
Where we were.
Oh, that's cool.
It's actually a lot of fun watching because, like I say, Trey's, this is his immersion into DM stuff. And it's like, it's watching his brain open up to, because people that have just computer role played have no idea that anything's possible. And I've been trying to figure out how to tell other people. I have an old group in Colorado that won't play Neverwinter Nights. They do WoW, but I can't get them on to this, and they're like, you know, they don't understand.
Yeah, there's so much. Having a DM or DMs makes so much more. It comes alive, and there's so much more creativity that can happen. You can do so much with it.
Okay, so where we flew to, you can, or where we were, you can only get to by one of these ships. Is that correct?
That's correct. Right.
And so that's why anybody's in there.
There might be some fabulous spell failure that might make something like that happen.
Actually, we did something like that with in one of the campaigns. The first people to travel there, there was a class in that run Sidonia School of Adventuring. And they were out in the swamp with an artifact.
It was an archaeological dig.
And here was this machine. And they had some archaeological pieces of scrolls, and they were putting them all together and going through the sequences. And there was a gnome that is just incredibly interested in tinkering. And they managed to get it functioning, and suddenly they found themselves ported
to the middle of the swamp.
To where it wasn't Kansas anymore.
It's funny, my kid's watching Wizard of Oz right now downstairs. So.
Okay. Okay, let's pause for a second and take a 15-minute station break. No, Feather, are you still with us? Do we lose you again?
I don't know. Where am I?
Okay,
hello.
We can hear you. Okay, sorry, I just wanted to check.
She hadn't said anything, so you were checking?
Yeah. Sorry. Okay, Halloween Foxy was playing as Roxana, as everyone remembers. She arrived a little bit late for the event, but I think she picked it up pretty quick. And she asked, "How did you guys survive the trunk wagglers?"
Well, I think that was for the players.
Yeah, that was for the players. Yeah.
I was going to say, I didn't. But I thought it was really neat because I had never seen those things before.
Well, what was weird is a whole bunch of them started showing up and then they kind of disappeared. So did y'all make some of them disappear?
Or did yes, you? Because they're okay. Really
Cause, yeah, because they're impossible. You. Yeah, they were impossible for me anyway. And I think we all ran into a cave nearby and Halloween got stuck somewhere else.
Was that you, Trey, that was when I was talking to a trunk waggler? We're saying,
I was doing the trunk waggler, and
I think Trey was saying that's hostile to me. It's hostile to me, or somebody was saying that.
Right? Like, yeah, but some of them were standing up there talking to him.
Well, no, they and I was trying to in character say,
Dan.
Huh? What do you mean they're hostile? You know, this thing's not doing anything to me because that's one of those lines that between.
Oh, actually, it was Dave who said that.
Character is in character and out of character. Where
exactly?
You're right.
That, if it turns red, that's just your game telling you that. That's nothing to do with
what
your character's perceiving.
Sorry,
I'm just not as good as you are.
No, it's a total dude. I started role playing in '76, so
actually Dan was standing back with me, FFBJ. Which, by the way, This is funny. you know, at the beginning, when everybody was getting on, and I was asking, okay, is FFBJ on? And y'all were saying no. And then someone showed up in his place because they said he was sick.
Oh, really?
That wasn't somebody else. That was actually FFBJ. He just did that to, I don't know why he was doing it.
he was the scout, right?
Yeah, he was.
Yes.
It wasn't he's the somebody one that, in for him.
He's the one that found the Vorpal Bunny.
Found.
Yeah, because we found him dead, didn't we?
Well, okay, sorry. It was a jackalope, actually.
It was a what? I'm sorry,
a jackalope, which is a jackrabbit with antlers.
Right, yeah. Okay, gotcha.
So, come on, Trey, you're a hunter?
No, we actually have those out in the backyard, so. Uh-huh. You know, I am from Arkansas, and I don't have my shoes on at the moment either.
Well, we tried to get some of those higher level things beaten out. Somehow that one missed us, but it didn't miss him.
Well, he was scouting for us. He was out in front. That was what for the very start was confusing as we hit the ground, and of course, probably hilarious that we all, of course, said, "Okay, we all must do this." And it's kind of like that scene in Life of Brian, where they're all standing on the wall deciding what they all need to do, and then I guess Pablo was kind of the guy that ended up talking to himself, going, "Okay, I guess everybody's doing something already. I guess I'll go. No one's listening. I'll go follow." And it was
okay.
It was really like the Life of Brian scene. Everybody's on the wall. Everybody gets people to follow them somewhere, except for that last guy that kind of slumps off. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Okay, I have a question for Feather. So, were you getting frustrated with us, with the players, or was it going as you planned?
Somewhere when you all decided on the wall that you needed to do something, you all decided to do something that went completely opposite to what we'd planned.
Okay, what
so,
was that?
Well, you went off in the different direction. So.
Well, because the scout took off?
You didn't take the ladder.
Yeah. I think the idea was that you would gather parts and then go back up.
I kind of pictured a Lost episode type of thing. Survivor. We were going to start voting people off.
The next thing we know, you're heading off.
No, you just get killed on Lost.
By that time, we were looking at the map and counting areas and looking at the clock, which is
oh, crap.
The
well,
other
yeah,
problem.
And plus, you had some podcast dude saying, "Okay, 40 minutes."
Is that you?
There was the podcast dude sending us little messages. So that's one reason why the sudden flight across Tanora was the number of areas to get through to be anything logical to where you could be rescued.
So I apologize 1,000 times, but actually, what happened was it was Easter weekend here, and when I agreed to have it on that Saturday, I completely forgot that was Easter, and I think some of the others had deadlines as well. But that's why I was doing the time thing because
that you initially started in took the Steinhammer group, I think, four 2.5-hour sessions to just get out of. So that was just with the DMs letting them hack their way
just
out.
Just roam around.
And they were epic level.
Yeah, we were epic level.
Oh, crap. So, then we eventually had local.
We needed to be rescued, yeah. So
yeah, we had a local. One of the coyotes came and kind of guided them out, made friends with them eventually.
Yeah, part of my actual metagaming, which was probably shouldn't have happened, is I, of course, saw dinosaurs, and me being a halfling said, "We ain't getting out of here. We got to sit in a group, and we need to figure something out." And yeah, I had no concept that, you know, that people would try to kill dinosaurs at 6th level. But
I know we were really bad, so can we come back?
Oh,
absolutely.
Time.
Yes, anytime.
I had a blast. I thought it was great.
Exactly.
Okay, so
it's just like planned, then where's the adrenaline, right?
Yeah. That was
the
fun.
The DMs are frantically going, what are they doing?
Oh, except it doesn't matter what happens in the game as long as the DMs and the players come together and create something that is unique and wonderful and we have fun.
And there's a snack lunch at the end.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I've put down many well-laid plans and it goes completely out the window. We have one game that we run that we don't plan ahead of for, or at least rarely ever do. And the purpose is just the discipline of trying to come up with something on the spot.
Sometimes, for the sake of the game, you need to throw away your plans.
Yeah.
That's right. As a player, you can sometimes feel, that's the old railroad thing, is you can feel if they're going, wait, no, this is not right. It's like,
as a player, you can throw away the plans of the DM.
I have spent time, like hours, setting up a scene for the players, and they never get to it. And that's fine. Oh. I don't mind.
If you remind that gamer, the setup we did Friday, Charissa killing horse, we did a role scene in players, currency inside the hammerhead.
Ah, yes. We did. We set up that, and I also had put some supplies for you guys. You totally missed that. They were in a little bunker.
You found
them. Oh, great. I thought they were totally missed.
I kept yelling at everybody, come back and get your supplies. Nobody would listen to me. They ran off.
Oh, that was me. Well, that's because
you're the only one who came back.
But I was still trying to figure out who everybody was, or, just how they were going to interact with me. And I think our scout had found the engine room and said we all had to go there. And, of course, then we all showed up in there and the ship started shaking. It's like, I don't want to be in here.
somebody started pushing buttons.
Yeah.
Okay, Kayla from Warcry also asked, how many regular players do you generally have on a given weekend? We stumped them.
We've had times when we'll have a maxed out server over 30 plus. Set it a maximum of 30, but you can get DMs can get in over the top of that. So we've had as much as 33 people.
That's not very often, though.
That's not very often.
Okay.
Other times we'll see where's it go? I mean, the worst is usually two. People on a dead time between a game. Games you'll see anywhere
from 10 to 15
people. Active times. I mean, it's cyclical. You see, I would get really worried if I saw the server only having two people on it for a weekend. If this hasn't happened over the last nearly 5 years that we've been running it, we'll get lots of people, and then it goes down to a few people, and then back up to lots of people. It's just up and down. You get people in gaming that pass through, and then you get other people who stay there and are always with us. And we've got a fairly decent sized group of people that have been with us for a number of years here.
I think
so. I'm sorry, go on, Carissa.
The peak times are the Eastern afternoon time, for Eastern, U.S. Eastern time and evening. Feather's time zone is not as busy, and we do have some European players. And, of course, Raven is from Brazil, so the slowest time is early mornings, or like 6 a.m. Eastern.
What kind of boosts the new patch is going to do for... I'm excited to see, Caves of Chaos you have coming out in there?
Yes, that's going to be in the when 1.69 releases.
Yeah. So I was hoping that, I mean, I'm guessing that 1.69 should go another surge in discovery of Neverwinter Nights online stuff.
Well, you consider that the material that they're, the BioWare is putting in to 1.69 is greater than both of the other two expansions that they did put together.
Yeah, they're emptying their drawers. And we're getting
they're putting in 9 stellar tile sets. They're putting in horses, which, if you looked at the poll on Neverwinter Connections, the horses were the number one top thing everybody wanted.
The hardest thing to create.
Oh, yes. It's coming. It's going in there with scripts. I've helped in... I was on the bug team with that for BioWare and have been helping with getting that, which is still ongoing. We're working out a few odds and ends still. But I think that everybody's going to be really pleasantly surprised. And the quality of what Neverwinter Nights looks like now is nothing like what it released over five years ago. It is just an incredibly different and improved game. And then you add the tile sets that are out there in the community, and you add the CEP, and it's a beautiful and wondrous game that has a lot to offer.
So did Neverwinter Nights 2, when it came out, did it impact your world's population in any way? Did you see your population fall off in any, or?
No, our population has been really loyal to Neverwinter Nights, and particularly to our server, so they weren't going anywhere.
I think we saw a few people go, and I mean, of course, some people will play the new games for, you know, a while, and they get tired of it, and then they come back.
Yeah, I like playing both, actually. So, I like going back and forth.
I've never played the original content of Neverwinter Nights, other than I started it once. I never even got out of the beginning city.
Me neither.
But that isn't why I bought it. Even though we own Neverwinter Nights 2, again, I'm not interested in the original content. I bought it to see if it would be the tool I need to build my world, and after evaluation, it won't do what I want it to do, so that's that.
Sure. And actually, just in defense of Neverwinter Nights 2, I mean, the snowball for Neverwinter Nights 1 took a while to get rolling, and actually
that's
it's funny
true.
How we all expected to hit the ground running. And it's actually starting to roll. Totally different stories, I think, you can tell with each one. From my experience, it seems like Neverwinter Nights 2 is going to be more of a, well, you know, real close personal story versus a, you know, a big campaign.
Y'all have any plans to take your world to Neverwinter Nights 2?
No, it couldn't be done. Right. We have 1,500 areas. We talked with Obsidian at Gen Con before the release. That'd be 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked with the CEO, Fergus, and several of the other people and the technical people. And they told us that we would expect to have a maximum of 100 areas in a server if we had a very decked-out, really hot machine. Mm. Now, I've heard that that's a little underrated, and you can probably have more than that, but there's no way that it can come up to 1,500 areas, nor could it handle a lot of the things that we do. It doesn't have spaceships, it doesn't have rideable right. horses, it doesn't even have a sit animation, for heaven's sake. You can't sit in a chair.
They fixed that last week, but yeah.
Oh, they did?
Well, actually, they had the animation, but if you didn't see the guy sitting and you walked into the room, your computer would see him standing, so he'd have to replay the animation again. It's hilarious. So they're
working on stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like Neverwinter Nights was when it came out. I guess I had a crappier machine, but I was stuck in the city, and I was like, you know, all I want to do is design stuff. I don't want to play this. This is taking, you know, it was tedious to watch them try to recreate role-playing to me. But
right.
I bought it for what we played last week, you know. And they're working on that, I think. About the areas, my little secret thing, you know how they came up with horses being tails? Well, for my area that's going to be in this contest that they're having, which is not going to win because it's not any great art thing, but I shrink the person to basically one-third size. But, of course, I've scaled, because you can scale everything easily, and that's just in the tool set. So I have, you know, a big, vast land that it took me 30 minutes to walk across my area.
Wow.
Because I was just a third high avatar guy, and everything else was expanded. So it's got capabilities. I don't know if the snowball keeps rolling, but I still think they're both different flavors, and you know, I think it's going to end up being like first edition and second edition. You'll have people that have both, and people that play both, and swear by both.
It has to come up to some basic functionality that it still doesn't have in the DM client.
Exactly.
Well, has it improved any? I mean, were supposed to have one.
Well, DMFI says they have new stuff that's coming out soon.
We actually interview Skunking and Carlos One from DMFI, and y'all have heard that he announced that they are releasing DMFI for Neverwinter Nights 2.
Well, that's good.
June of 08.
I still like the variety of clothing that is in Neverwinter Nights and the ability we have on the server to customize all the clothing.
Oh, exactly. The second I stepped into the server, it was like, okay, this is what it was all meant to be. This is how it's supposed to be.
I'm glad you like it. That's rewarding.
Someday that Neverwinter Nights, I'm just hoping someday Neverwinter Nights 2 will eventually be brought to a point where it is what I want. And because obviously Neverwinter Nights will continue to fall behind in the
technical.
Keeping up with support on video cards and machines.
At the very end of the event, we were all given a ruby, I believe it was. Tell us what that can get us and how that works. Because I was excited.
Feather, you want to take that? You still there, Feather?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm still here. The roleplay rubies are for a reward for roleplay. The XP you get, kind of, it's given often when you defeat something, just the engine gives you XP. And you can get XP, roleplay XP from DMs, but only DMs can give you the roleplay gems. Uh-huh. And on Anacolia, they're used for things like upgrading personal equipment, so you can get that special glowy sword that is unique to your character that you can't buy in a store. You can buy a special role-play game for yourself if you've got a quest for your character that you'd like to fulfill. You can get a special session, talk to a DM, and get them to run a game for you. You can save them up and buy housing. Before the horses have permanent storage, but before that, the only place to get permanent storage was to have housing and some sort of lock cupboard, and it's still neat to have your own home away from home for some of your favorite characters, so you can buy housing as well. Raven, can you think of anything else you can do with the gems?
How about hero points?
Don't think we have hero points set up.
Just one of those things like, oh my god, I've bit off way too much. Somebody take my ruby, please, and save me.
And I think the really, truly useful thing that they can do is buy you bags of holding.
Oh. You can use this ruby over and over, or you only get to use it once for one thing?
You get them when you play a session, so
it's like money.
It's like money.
Okay. Use it. So once you use, we got one for this event. If I use it, it'll go away until I get another one for another event. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. Money is easy to find on Anacolia. I think for role play, it really bogs you down when you're trying to just survive. So surviving at a character level is really quite easy to do. The gems give you something that has kind of a value that's beyond the money part.
Yeah.
Which
cool.
is kind of nice to have.
Yeah.
I call it the true wealth on Anacolia because it's the only thing that DM will respect for purchasing or upgrading or buying persistent housing or whatever those things that Feather went across.
Huh, cool. That's excellent.
So where's Buckletoe then? Speaking of housing.
Oh, that's right. You were the one that was asking about where your character could come from, Pablo.
Yeah. Buckletoe is just west of Last Town.
Last Town.
Between the Shire and Last Town.
It's kind of way out there.
Except you have to go north of Last Town.
Feather's got a character that lives there.
Yes.
She's got quite a house. You should see it. Very nice.
So you can have us over for some tea. Feather.
Oh, she loves to give you tea. Yeah, Tiri. Look for Tiri. She's a halfling.
She has
so
pumpkin bread.
You for tea and half a drop of notice.
That's funny. It's just amazing what y'all have done with this world. Sorry, I don't know what else to say.
Yep.
Our rule is if you make us laugh, you often get a DM cookie.
Or if you do what?
Cry.
Oh, if you make you laugh.
If you make us laugh or cry.
I think I got it right after I killed Perky or Perky fell down the crack or whatever happened. Okay.
Come somewhere your own size.
Okay, hey, this was excellent. I really appreciate you all taking the time to come and talk about your world. I know just from listening to you that you're really excited about it, and it sounds like it's going to be here for a while, for long times to come. So everyone who's listening, get on the Realms of Anacolia and check it out. And I know I've been on there several times as well as with the event, and hopefully we'll get to do some more events. There's talk of maybe turning this into a campaign, so hopefully that'll happen, and we'll make sure we keep you informed of it. But anyway, get on there and check it out. I know I was on there only a couple of times, and I just scratched the surface of the areas that you can explore and role play in. So once again, thank you, Barry and Carissa, being with us, DM Feather for joining us, and DM Raven. Thank you very much.
Thank you for
having
us.
Thank you for having us.
And we're back. Are you back, Jay?
I'm back, and I'm front.
I'm just very well-rounded.
Yeah, you know, I always tell people I'm in shape, and they look at me kind of funny. They go, hey, round is a shape. You know, it's a shape. Okay. I did want to just let everybody know that we did have some issues this week where we had overrun our file storage limit for our hosting plan. So if you had any trouble downloading any files, I want to apologize for that up front. We have moved some files around and gotten our down below our threshold. We are in the process of looking at some opportunities to find some other locations to host our files. We've got some prospects that we're looking at, but I also wanted to open it up if anybody out there or our listeners
has any suggestions, to please go ahead and post them to the forums or the comments of the show or email us. You kind of know all the ways to get a hold of us. Let us know if you have any recommendations on that. We are looking for something that hopefully is no cost or a little bit of cost, and we'll try to get something. One of our goals is to get something that will increase the download speed so you guys aren't waiting for the shows to come down as long as you have been.
Can you believe, did you even think that 52 episodes ago you'd run out of space?
No, we did not. But it's, yeah, I have 2 gigabyte storage on my hosting, and we figured out at like a 25 to our 40 meg file, which is what we kind of push on average, it was going to be 50 shows. It was going to be about the limit we could put on there. So we have archived some of those older shows, like the first 25 episodes, off onto a temporary server, and that's a lot slower. So if you get to go get those, it's going to be really slow. But other than that, the current episodes that are in the RSS feed are going to be hosted from the site like they always have been.
Oh, I would like to do a little ad lib here. Slow Dive, who is a modder, he has a blog on Neverwinter Nights 2 for a module. He had listened. He caught a post of mine. Listened to all 51 of our shows in 3 weeks.
Wow.
Yes, and then he posted now on our comments, says, "Hey, can you guys like do 2 shows a day so I don't have to go back to sports radio while I go to work?"
And the little guys in the white coats are coming to take him away. Ha ha.
Yeah,
I'm afraid if you listen to all of our shows back to back like that, it would drive you crazy.
I asked him if he suffered any repercussions, ill effects.
Yeah, he's talking to his therapist right now.
But thank you, Slow Dive, very much for being.
Wow.
Yeah, that is just like wow right there. That is makes you feel good.
Wish I had a T-shirt to send you.
Hopefully soon. Well, I guess I could talk about this one since this is an interview that I conducted. Russ, a.k.a. Tiberius, he is a modder from Neverwinter Nights 1. He has transitioned to Neverwinter Nights 2 with the Salaron Gambit series 1 through 5. He is part of Ossian Studios, and he contributes a very, very talented writing style. And he is doing the Maimed God series in Neverwinter Nights 2, along with some other prospects. He's got a really neat poll on his blog right now. He's planning on a real-world history module from way back in the way back, like the Norman invasion, the War of the Roses. These are all on his poll. So go check out his blog, because it's, you know, this sounds pretty exciting.
So we're going to hear him and about all of that in the next episode coming out next week.
Yeah, actually, we didn't talk about the real-world history module. This came after the fact. So I figured I'd throw it out there.
Well, consider it thrown.
Hey, tossed in. So until next time.
Get in game.
And level up.
And level up.
You can always reach us via our website at NeverwinterNightsPodcast.com or by email at show@NeverwinterNightsPodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights Podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights Podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights Podcast. The Neverwinter Nights Podcast is copyright 2008.
Oh, I also wanted to clarify, you didn't know what a wolf was? That's a wolf. In
you said wolf.
South.
Did I say wolf?
The wolf. The wolf.
Thank you.
I was just going to clarify the southern. Actually, a wolf.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Okay. So we
can. Can you hear me now?
Okay. You have your duck?
No, it's my dog. I'm worried about. She's barking. Well, we've got DM cookies that we can give to players too. So if I catch somebody role playing at all, I can slip them cookies. So they suddenly end up with DM cookies in their bag, and those can be.
You get milk too?
Yeah,
you get milk
cookies.
As well?
Oh, oh. Bill.
you eat the DM cookie, and it's worth 50 experience points.
I think I got one during the event. I remember one popped up.
Ringy dingy, ringy dingy, ringy dingy, baby, baby, ringy dingy.
I wonder what you say that. Kick it podcast style, dude. Yes, it was. We'll edit that part out. Tracy gave us a little ditty on that. Yay! We're awesome.
Good. Excellent. Thank you, everybody.